be seated. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord here today? Yeah. I tell you what, we can never underestimate. We can never diminish the fact that we are here with the Lord, that He is in our midst. We've got to draw upon that. We've got to claim that. Amen. Well, it's so good to see everyone here today. Is everybody staying warm here today? Yes. And again, we just welcome those that are visiting Family Church or for those that are just coming back for your second or third time. We welcome you. We just are so glad to have you. My name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor, and we just love you. We know that God's got an awesome plan for your life. Of course, Pastor Brad shared with you Jeremiah 29:11. And of course, we want to help get you into that plan for your life. And we cannot do it without the Word of God. Are you ready for the Word here today? Yes. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Ephesians chapter 3. And of course, you know, over the last few weeks, I've been teaching a series of messages called Breakthrough to the Next Level. Breakthrough to the Next Level. And today is the fourth part of that series of messages. And I'm going to call this message specifically, Developing Inner Strength God's Way. Or you could say it, Developing Your Spirit. Or Investing in the Inner Man, right? Developing our spiritual life. And of course, week one, we talked about three things that you have to know about stewardship. And this series of messages is about being a good steward before God. It's about stewardship. We know this. Number one, that ownership and stewardship are two totally different things. How many of you know we are stewards? We are not masters. All right. A steward is somebody that cares for what belongs to the master. And Jesus is the master. Amen. And everything is His. We own nothing. It all belongs to Him. And it's so important that we live that life. We live this life with that knowledge where we go before Him and say, Lord, it's all yours. Yes. Like not just our material possessions, not just finances, but our spiritual life. Amen. Everything belongs to Him. And we've got to know that we're here to hear the Master's voice. If you don't have a life where you're going before God and consecrating before Him and saying, Lord, You are the Master. You own everything. I am Your steward. Show me. Reveal to me Your voice. Tell me what You want me to do. Anything that comes to me is something that can pass through me, right? Show me what You want to do in this life. And of course, second, we said this, that a good steward will crush their own will for the will of God. Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. We know this, that just like Jesus in the garden, our own will try to rise up and to destroy the plan of God in our lives. We cannot let that happen. We've got to crush our own will through prayer and consecration and fellowship with God. Amen. And then we said this, that we have the responsibility to seek out the secret instructions that the Holy Spirit has for each and every one of us. How many of you know there are things specific to your life that you need to fellowship with God and get those instructions? If you are not led by the Spirit, right? If you are not seeking time to get those instructions from heaven, you are going to miss what God has for you, right? We do not want to be a bad steward and fail to know those things. And then on week two, we looked at the parable of the 10 virgins, right? And Jesus spoke over there. He said there were 5 wise virgins. There were 5 foolish virgins. And again, don't let that term virgin upset you. It was a reference to bridesmaids in a wedding ceremony. And remember, the 5 wise ones, they went out there and they kept their vessel full so that when the bridegroom was announced, they were ready to go out and meet him. And it was a Jewish wedding ceremony, which was different than ours, but they would wait for the bridegroom to be announced, and it was in the evening or at night, and they would take a lantern and a vessel filled with oil so that they could go out and meet the bridegroom. Well, Jesus said, so it will be at His coming, that there will be those that will either keep their vessel full of God, or there will be like the foolish virgins that what? They kept their vessel empty or let their vessel go empty. Folks, we are first and foremost stewards of our spiritual vessel. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he is coming to find those that are full, full of God, full of the Spirit, full of the Word, full of faith, right? Are you here today? Glory to God. You know, and we know this, that the foolish ones that let their vessels go empty, they were shut out of the wedding feast. Oh boy. And we don't know to what extent that that means, but all we know is that we don't want to be shut out of anything that the Lord is doing. So keep your vessel full. This will be the test of this generation. Folks, I know I said some things last week. I know you hear me say things about the darkness of our society. It is a real thing. But folks, just so you know that the darkness of society does not have to be my darkness or your darkness. The path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And so we have to know and understand that things in society can get bleak. All right? And I'll tell you what, as they do, more and more, we need our vessel to stay full. Keep your vessel full. Praise the Lord. And we've been teaching you how to do that. And of course, last week we said, don't be a Martha. Don't be a Martha. Now, no offense to anybody named Martha. It was a reference to Luke chapter 10 when Jesus dealt with this woman who was very troubled about everything. And remember about Martha? Number one, she desired relief from her troubles more than she desired revelation from the Word of God. Jesus was physically in her house, yes, teaching the Word of God. And her sister Mary was in there sitting at the feet of Jesus, putting everything aside, letting people get mad at her, letting things going undone if need be to hear the teachings of the Lord. Mary was more interested in knowing what Jesus knew. Martha was more interested in just having her problems lifted. Remember Martha's one and only request? Basically, Lord, make her get in here and help me with my troubles. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about everything. If I solve this problem for you, another problem is going to move in and take its place. And Jesus was saying, Martha, change the person, not the problem. So many times we want to just change the problems in our life. And Jesus said, no, don't try to change the problem. Change your person. Change you. Change you. Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, he said, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say I'm going to just revoke every problem in your life. He said, I will give you rest unto your souls. He's saying, Martha, your problem isn't your troubles. Your troubles aren't your troubles. The problem is that you've allowed yourself to become a troubled person. He said, if you come unto me, you will get rest, a grace to handle everything that comes your way, right? Amen. And then we saw finally last week, Martha was left all alone without any help. See, it wasn't because Jesus didn't want to help her. It was because he couldn't help her. See, Martha had put herself in a place where she was unreachable. And if we're trouble-hearted, if our priority in life is just to get rid of our problems, to just make it through, you know, just to, you know, face, you know, try to get away from every hardship, if that's our priority, then I'm telling you, we're going to put ourselves in a place where we cannot get help. Because we are not, our priority in life is not to just lift troubles. Our priority in life is to know him, to keep our vessel full of him. Amen. But the modern day body of Christ, what do we do? And God, just lift my troubles. I mean, almost you would think that knowing God today is just a way of finding self-help. But that is not what we're supposed to do. Amen. We're supposed to fill the vessel with God. Know him. Praise the Lord. All right. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. And today we're going to talk about how to invest to your inner man or your spirit or your heart. And we're going to talk about that. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to develop inner strength God's way to the point where you can handle anything in this life. Anything in this life. Let's go to Ephesians 3. And let's start in verse 14. And I'm going to read through the end of the chapter. And I'm in the King James Bible. Of course, we always encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. let your fingers do the walking, right? Remember back in the day, remember being a kid when phone books were like a foot thick? Remember, there was a time when you used phone books as like booster seats. Have you seen those? How many of you remember that? I remember sitting on phone books as a kid as a way to sit at the table. Have you seen the phone books these days? They're like a newspaper. They're like a newspaper because everyone obviously is using cell phones and so on. Man, I miss it. Remember, I mean, you could just see the side of the phone book and there would be the white pages, the yellow pages, and then the green pages that no one ever looked at. I don't even know what those green pages were for. All I know is I never looked at them. They never meant anything. I don't know what they were. You probably know, and someone will tell me after service. Praise the Lord. You know, there's somebody that just can't wait for a service to dismiss. They can run up and tell me what the, please do, I need to know. Inquiring minds want to know. You remember that as a kid? Well, anyway. The National Enquirer. Oh, goodness. Anyhow, we won't go down that route. I was going to say a few things. We'll just pull it on back and focus on what the Lord has for us today. Are you ready for Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14? Let's start right here. Paul the Apostle, he is speaking to the church at Ephesus. He is writing by the inspiration of the Spirit, and he now begins to pray for these Christians. And of course, he's inspired of the Spirit to pray this way. This is a Holy Spirit-inspired prayer for Christians. If you've ever wondered how to pray for other believers, or if you've got, you know, family or friends that they're Christians, but maybe they're not quite living right, here's a great way to pray for them. He says this, he says, "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Boy, the church today needs to pray on their knees and on their face again. Amen. He says, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." He says, "I pray that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Everyone say, inner man. That word man is not a reference to gender. It's a reference to your true self, your innermost self. Verse 17 says, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints," or all believers, "what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God." Anybody want to be filled with the fullness of God? Yes. "Now unto him," God, "that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Everyone say, in us. He says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." All right. Now, let's go on back up here and go to verse 16. And today, I'm going to give you seven things you need to know about strengthening the inner man. Now, before we get there, I want you to notice a few things. Again, Paul is praying for believers. Now, notice that this prayer was not just Paul's prayer. This must have been the Holy Ghost praying for these Christians, because it was eternally recorded in God's eternal word. So this doesn't just represent Paul's desire for believers. This represents the Lord's desire for believers. You could say it this way: if you've ever wanted to know how the Lord prays for you and I, this is how he prays. This is the Lord's desire. All right? Amen. And so, do you notice this? You know, and you can also go, there's many prayers that are inspired of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. You can go to Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, and you will see all these prayers that are inspired of the Holy Ghost for Christians. And the one thing you never see in there is Paul ever praying for somebody to have more money. All right. Now, does that mean that God doesn't want you to prosper? Of course he wants you to prosper, right? But you will never see an inspired prayer in the Word of God that prays for people's money, that prays for people's house, that prays for people's, you know, financial or material things in life. Now, does God want us to prosper again? Yes, he does, but it's just not the first priority of God. But we do see the Spirit is inspiring prayers that we would have more wisdom, more spiritual understanding, the strength of our inner spirit, right? To be in the will of God. Amen. He's praying that we would develop a spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of him. And he wants us to what? Invest into our inner man above all else. Above all else. Amen. That doesn't mean that that's the only part of you that God cares about. Does God care about your flesh? Yes. Yeah. In terms of healing and health? Yeah, he cares about it. Does God care about your mind? Yes. He wants it renewed. He wants you to live in the mind of Christ, right? But first and foremost, he wants your spirit to be fed and developed. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. Things you need to know about your inner man. Are you ready? Yeah. If you're here and you're a woman and you're thinking, I don't want to be referred to as the inner man, well, you've been watching too much news and political correctness or something. Because that, again, that's not a reference to gender. It's a reference to every man and woman has a spirit. We are a spirit being. Amen. And so that's what it's talking about. And I'll give you a definition for that here in just a moment. Are you ready? Yes. All right. Let's just start out. Let's start with that definition. Go back to verse 16. He says, I pray that the Lord would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Holy Spirit in the inner man. Here's a definition for the inner man. Are you ready? It is simply this. It is the real you. It is the real you. Your flesh is not the real you. Your inner man is that part that was born again when you made Jesus your Lord and Savior. The inner man contains the life of God. The inner man contains the new nature of God, the love of God that is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost into our spirit or into our nature. The inner man is your born-again spirit. The inner man is your heart. The inner man is your conscience. Like I said, it is your innermost self, including your intentions and motives. Your innermost self, including your intentions and your motives. Some of you sit here like you don't care. You got to learn this stuff. You got to get a hold of this. You have to know this. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. It is your deepest faith and beliefs. Your inner man is what you truly live for and live from. All right. The inward man, which is also synonymous with inner man, you're going to see that the scripture uses both terms, inner man or inward man. All right. This is the part of you that God cares most about. It's not what he cares about only, but it's what he cares most about. And so we need to know this. So today we're talking about developing the inward man, your spirit, your heart, your innermost self, your beliefs. Amen. Amen. Your intentions, your motives. Are you with me here today? All right. Number one, are you ready? We're going to start with the easiest things to understand. And then as we go through this list of things, we will get more and more in depth as we go along. Folks, number one, notice this. Your inner man can be strong or it can be weak. Your inner man can be strong or it can be weak. Notice in Ephesians 3:16, he says, I pray that you would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in your inner man. So notice, if your spirit can be strengthened, it also can be weakened. We need to know what strengthens our spirit and what weakens our spirit. We've got to know this. We've got to know and understand. We need to know how to strengthen it. And we need to live a life that's determined to strengthen it. This is absolutely the priority of knowing Christ on this earth. This is your vessel that Jesus referred about in the parable of the 10 virgins. Your spirit, your innermost self. It can be strong and it can be weak, all right? Perhaps this is what is determining your natural life more than anything else. Yes. For as your inner man goes, so does your whole life on this earth. Your natural life will be the sum of all that you have done or not done with your innermost self. Are you here today? Oh, Pastor, I just need an uplifting service to make me feel better for a few minutes or for a few hours. Well, I'll tell you what, or I can teach you how to live. Right out of the word, and I'll tell you what, this will bring strength every single day. You know, you've heard the old saying that says, you know, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day, or give him a fishing pole and feed him for life. Folks, I'm here to tell you, we are a church that gives out fishing poles. Fishing poles. That got some of the guys' attention. Really? Where do you get the fishing poles at? It's a metaphor. We're not teaching you how to live just for a moment. We're teaching you how to live for life through the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your inner man can be strong or it can be weak. Now, hold your place there. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. We're coming right back to Ephesians 3, so hold your place there. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. And I know I could just simply put this verse up on the screen, but I want you to turn in your Bibles. I want you to get used to turning the pages of your Bible. Meditate in these scriptures. Connect the dots. Go place to place. See where these things are related in the Word. This will all help you to study. You know, the Bible still says, study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Well, you got to divide some pages. You got to get the word. Amen. Go to Proverbs 4:23, and I'm reading out of the King James. And of course, this is a verse that's familiar to many of us, but notice it says, keep your heart. The word keep means guard, all right? You could say it this way, guard your heart, or you could say it this way, guard your inner man. Remember, he told us over there in Ephesians 3 that you would receive strength in your inner man by the Holy Ghost, having your hearts filled with Christ. Remember, the term heart and inward man are synonymous, okay? Keep or guard your innermost self with all diligence. For out of your inner man, out of your heart, in your inwardmost self are the issues of life. Is there anyone here today that's got any issues? All right. I went to that church and that pastor told me I've got issues. Well, there are lots of issues in life. All right. Just keeping a strong marriage, that's an issue. All right. Raising your kids right, that's an issue. Going to work and earning money, that's an issue. Paying your mortgage is an issue, right? We've all got stuff that we've got to maintain and to keep track of, right? You know, having relationships, meaning, you know, making sure that, you know, you're not offended with people, that's an issue. Forgiving others, that's an issue. Being faithful in the house of the Lord, that's an issue. Notice that all the issues of life are coming out of or being carried by your innermost self. All right, he says, this is why you've got to guard it, because your life is simply the product of what you do or don't do with your inner man. And the body of Christ, through these last couple of years of trials on this earth, have been pushed away to investing in their innermost self, you know, first and foremost. They're doing everything else. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, because men will be lovers of their own selves. They will be seekers of pleasures. They will put their own pleasure. They will put their own desires over the will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. But out of your heart are all the issues, meaning literally everything in life is making a withdrawal on your spirit. Okay, but what if you never put any deposits into your spirit? Then life is going to be pulling out. You're going to be what? Overdrawn. Christians are living overdrawn. More is coming out of their spirit than is ever being put back into it. Folks, your job in life, raising kids, these things draw a lot of fortitude and strength out of your spirit. But if you're not replenishing it, if you're not renewing it, you're going to live overdrawn. You know what overdrawn means? In the negatives. I remember them days. Oh, yeah. You know, we've all been there. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But there was a time in my life when I remember seeing my bank account overdrawn. Negative numbers. Not good. That means you don't have enough. You are below zero. Right? You're below zero. And that's literally like an illustration of people's spiritual life. They're wondering why they're so busted and disgusted, frustrated, you know, fatigued, worn out in life. No joy, no victory, because they're living overdrawn. They're living overdrawn because out of your inner self is coming all the issues of life. All of it. That's why one little trial can send somebody over the edge, because they're so overdrawn. So number one, your spirit can be strong or it can be weak. That is not up to God, that is up to you and I. Oh, praise the Lord. As the inner man goes, so does your life. And you better just decide how well you want this life to go. All right, go back to Ephesians 3. Let me give you the second thing you need to know about your inner man. And it tells us right here in verse 16. The inner man is strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't it say that? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with all might or power by his spirit in the inner man. Aren't you glad? And this point won't take long, but we're going to just look at this. The inner man is strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Now, we got to ask ourselves this question. What is the first and greatest aspect of the Holy Ghost? Now, before you say anything out loud, be careful. Because sometimes it's not what Christians, especially Pentecostals these days, think. They will think that the first aspect of the Holy Spirit, you know, is the gifts of the Spirit or the manifestations of the Spirit, but it's not. The first and highest aspect of the Holy Ghost is the Word of God. Good. Yes. Boy, you really shouted. Okay. You know what, if I would have said the first aspect of the Holy Ghost is financial prosperity, this place probably really would have erupted in cheers. People think, oh, that Word of God stuff, that's just boring. Then you don't know the Spirit of God. You don't know the Spirit of God. Now, for the sake of time, I will show you a verse here. Can you bring up, I believe, Romans chapter 7 and verse 22? And if you could bring it up in the Amplified, that would be great. Let me show you something about your inward man. Yes, I love this verse. Paul is talking about in Romans 7, the battle between flesh and spirit. The battle between your natural mind and your spiritual self. It's a battle every day. Has anybody, you know, realized that yet? To do things God's way, you got to constantly get the flesh and mind out of the way. That's why the Bible says in Galatians 5:24, it says, crucify your flesh. Not fun. It says with its lusts and its passions. Got to crucify it. But Paul, talking about this battle between flesh and spirit, he says, for I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self with my new nature. Here's the second thing that I'm trying to get you to understand. Your spirit craves and hungers for the Word of God. Amen. This is the first thing your spirit is hungry for. This is, you know, fellowship in revelation of the Word is fellowship with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is not going to do anything that's beyond the Word. Right. the Holy Spirit does not, you know, is not first and foremost, you know, coming out of the ideas of man, you know, or people's personal desires. The Holy Spirit first and foremost deals with revelation in the Word of God, all right? He says, I endorse and delight in the law of God. I'm telling you, if you're here and, you know, you've never experienced what it is to have an appetite for the Word. Do you know what I mean by an appetite of something? Where, you know, have you ever been somewhere and maybe you weren't even thinking about it, but all of a sudden, like, an appetite for a certain food comes over you, and it just sounds good. And it's like, nothing is going to deny me that, right? We all are sitting here. We're all smiling over that. But how many of you know that same thing can happen in your spirit? And I don't mean to speak with, you know, arrogance or trying to act like, whoa, look at me or anything. But there's just times where literally the appetite for God's word just washes over me. Just washes over me, and I just can't wait to get to a certain verse. I can't wait, you know, to feed on the word. I'm not talking about sitting down and just reading it. I'm sitting down and I'm meditating on it. I'm fellowshipping with the word. I'm repeating it out loud. I'm praying it back to God. I tell him, I receive this word into my spirit with joy, right? You know, an appetite for the word of God. Your spirit is strengthened by the word, it is fed by the word, and it craves and hungers. Good. If you've never had an appetite for the word of God, there's one of two things going on. Either one, you're not born again. Yeah. Or two, you've never fed your spirit the word to develop an appetite. You cannot have an appetite for something. You cannot have a craving for something that you've never tasted. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I know it seems cheesy, but it's absolutely true. You've got to taste and see how good the word can be. Amen. All right. So your innermost self longs for, craves, and desires the word. If you're born again. But if you never feed yourself the word, it will never develop that appetite. See, in the old days, we called them devotions. You know, some people still do. But what that really is, that's an old way of saying taking time to feed your spirit. Feed your innermost self, all right? It's strengthened by time and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and that always begins with the word of God. Folks, I'm telling you. Oh, boy, here we go. Here comes the soapbox and the rant again. Are you ready? Yes. I see so many Christians. They're going out and they're just picking they're going to the Christian bookstore or the Christian reading section, and they're getting every kind of book from every kind of teacher that they can find. First of all, beware of that. You're going to get yourself so many teachers, your spirit's going to get confused. Ooh. The most ordained message that God has for every Christian in this earth is the messages that are coming through their pastor. Amen. You know, I guess I was just so simple. When I started sitting under Pastor Michael, I was taking notes of his sermons and going home and all week just sitting on those. Just rehearsing them and going through those. You know, the most ordained message to us in our lives is the message that comes through the local church. Now, that's not just this church. That's any church that has a pastor. Amen. We've got to feed ourselves the word. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 4:4? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so what Christians are doing, they're reading all this Christian material, but they're never just getting revelation for themselves out of the word. Listen, the most simple truth that you get from spending time alone with the word is better than the deepest revelation that any minister wrote in their book. Amen. Let me say it again. The most simple truth that you get from being alone with the word of God is much greater for your life than the deepest revelation of any minister's book. None of them have what this has. They can teach on it. They can expound. And thank God I read a lot of books. I'm not telling you can't. But if you're reading those books and you ain't reading the book, that's the problem. That's the problem. And you know what? As a pastor, I'm seeing that all over. I'm seeing it all over. Like, I'm reading this book. Okay, great. But boy, with all that time you're spending on all those other books, that must mean you got double the time in this one. Because if you don't, I'm just telling you, those books will not feed your spirit like this one.
Right.
You say, well, Pastor, I just would rather have someone explain it to me. The most simple truth that the Holy Ghost points out to you in the Bible is greater than the deepest revelation of any minister's book.
Amen.
All right? You need to know that. All right? The inner man is strengthened by fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, beginning with the Word of God. Let him talk to you. Again, don't be like Martha and just say, Lord, just lift my trouble. How about you start developing questions with God? Lord, what does this verse mean? Lord, what does this passage, you know, talk about? Lord, I ask you, reveal your word to me. Open your word to me. Father, reveal and manifest yourself. Speak to me. And it might not happen 10 minutes later, but just keep seeking him. Oh, goodness. All right. Go back to Ephesians 3. Here's the third thing on our list here today. God is limited or unlimited by the power working in your inner man. Number three, God is limited to or unlimited by the power working in your inner man. Go to Ephesians 3. Now go down to verse 20. Here's a verse we all love. Does anybody else love Ephesians 3:20? See, some of you are shy. You feel like I'm drawing you into a trap. I love it too. But we make some really big mistakes when it comes to Ephesians 3:20. And we can't make these mistakes if we're going to have the power of God working in our lives. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't you just love and the appetite for the things of God just sweep over you? Folks, I'm telling you, we got to get hungry. Got to get hungry. All right, Ephesians 3:20. God is limited or unlimited by the power working in your inner man. Verse 20 says, now unto him, this is speaking of God, now unto God the Father that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. How many of you like that part of the verse? Don't we rejoice? God is exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And I don't know about you, I can ask for and think of some pretty great things, right? Well, God is still above that, giving us an indication that God will be limited by our thoughts. If we have lowly thoughts, that's all he has to get up to. You know what I'm saying by that? Like, he only will go to the level of our vision and so on, but that's not my message today. It says, according, look at the rest of the verse, according to the power that works in us. Everyone say, in us. Now, this verse is usually understood by Christians. We think, well, I'm born again, therefore, the power of God is automatically working in me. I'm a Christian. I go to church. Therefore, the power is working in me. Not automatically, it's not. Not randomly, it's not. Oh, boy, here we go. One of the biggest misconceptions that Christians have, that they think the power of God just happens automatically or randomly. No, we've got the part to play to make sure that the power of God is working in us.
Yeah.
I know this is really confusing some of you because we just always thought, well, I'm born again, therefore the power of God's working in me. No, you might have the potential to have the power of God working in us, but if we're not working it, it's not working. All right. Ask yourselves right now, all right, what power is working in you right now? Think about this. Let me just give you some examples. Is the power of God's love working in you? It doesn't happen automatically. You can have all the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, but if you treat people like garbage, the power of God's love is not working in you. Do you get this? How about the power of forgiveness? Is that working in you? Well, if you have somebody you need to forgive, but you're not, then that power is not working in you. And it's not up to God. That's up to you. He says, well, here's the power. Go work it. If you got to forgive, forgive. Walking in love is a power or a grace of God. How about the power of tithing? Is that working in you?
Yes.
Sure. How come it's always the first couple of rows that rejoice over that? Listen, just remember my advice. If you're convicted by the preaching of the word, just nod your head, smile real big, and no one will ever know it's you. God will know, but we won't. Praise the Lord. Are you walking in tithing? Say, well, Pastor, I can't afford a tithe. Well, then I'll tell you what, you can't afford to have God's power that comes along with that action. How many know there's power in the actions of God? There's power in forgiveness. The power of God works when you walk in love. The power of God works when you walk in tithing. Are you coming in here and bringing your praise and worship? I can tell you right now, plenty of you weren't doing that today. Pastor, ouch. Listen, I love you. I love you. But if you're sitting there and you're just standing in the house of the Lord with no worship, with no praise, that power is not working in you. See, the Bible says, because his loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee. Yes. Thus, while I live, I will bless you, O Lord. I will lift up my hands in your name, Psalm 63, right? Yes. See, there's power associated, because then verse 5 goes on to say, then I shall be filled with the fatness and the marrow. Some of you say, well, then I don't want that then. And maybe that's my problem. I've been praising too much. I've been just praising too much. Yeah. No, there's some things that come into the brain. Nope, can't go that direction. But you know, I mean, if you're not praising, the Bible says you'll be filled. You'll be satisfied in this life because you praised him. You know, there's just something inside every believer, whether you know it or not, that is just aching to praise God, just looking to get out and praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are not the first church of the frozen chosen, right? Amen. But the power, if you're not serving in the house of the Lord, then you're not working that power. There's power that comes along with that. You know, are you giving offerings? Are you looking for people in their life, and are you meeting needs? There's power in giving to people, power in helping others. Amen. God's power is not random. Listen, how about the power of church attendance? You're living in the days and times where church attendance across this entire nation is more under attack than ever before. The devil simply put a virus in the earth and it siphoned off like 25% across our nation that now believe that just sitting at home being a couch Christian is good enough. It's one thing when people are elderly or they're disabled, and that's why we have these cameras or an outreach to those that are the unchurched. But when we know better, the Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of ourselves together, but how much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Isn't it? I think to me, one of the greatest indications of the Lord's return is the fact that Christians are going to church less. And guess what? They're going to lose out on the power. This is the only way we can be in the corporate anointing. So let me ask you, according, God is limited or unlimited according to the power that is working within you? If you're not working it, if you're not obeying the word, putting it to practice, God is limited. God can only go as far as the strength of your inner man. He can only go as far as what is working in your spirit. Are you getting a hold of this? Well, if I want God to move in my life, I got to make sure that my spirit, that my innermost self is fed and nourished and built. Right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number 4, are you ready? Yeah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and this might be the biggest point of our day. Whether we get to all 7 of these points, this will probably be the biggest. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we are going to we're going to go all the way back to verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, and we're going to read probably most, if not all, to the end of the chapter. All right, here's the fourth point we've got to know about our inner man. Every trial in this life, every trial, every hardship is a trial of the inner man. Everything in life is a trial of the inner man. I already showed you Proverbs 4:23 that says, out of your inner man are all the issues of life. We're going to take it one step further. Every trial is a test for the inner man. Go to 2 Corinthians 4:8. I'm reading in the King James. Let's read this. Now remember, this is Paul the Apostle, and he's talking about all the physical hardships that he went through. And let me just say this, none of us have ever faced the hardships like Paul ever faced. Nowhere even close. Let's read this. He says, we are troubled. He's talking about him and his company as they travel and preach the gospel. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He says, we are always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Oh, there's so many sermons in that. He says, I'm always bearing about in my physical body the dying of the Lord Jesus. He's saying these hardships have tested me physically where it feels like I'm dying like Christ. I'm sacrificing myself in order to obey God. He says that the life also of Jesus would be made manifest in our body, or that people would see Christ in us. He says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus would be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us. He's talking about these things are always pressing us, always pounding on us. He says, but life in you. He's saying, we're going through all this to help you. That's what the point he's making. He says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. He's saying, no matter what I'm going through, guess what? It feels like sometimes I'm dying all the time. He said, my hope is in the resurrection of Christ. Oh boy, none of us would ever be able to say we went through things like Paul did. He says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be, that abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, everyone say outward man, our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Wow, wow, wow. Paul was persecuted and faced hardships at a level that you and I have never experienced. Go back to verse 16 here. Look at verse 16. He says, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Notice the difference. There is an outward man and an inward man. Your outward man is your flesh. Your outward man is your carnal mind. Your inward man is your spirit, like I have explained. Do you see this in this passage? All right. Praise the Lord. Notice your outward man is the part of you that is focused on hardships and circumstances of the natural life. Are you seeing that? He said, my outward man is perishing every day, meaning I'm being pressed. I'm being pressured. I'm being beaten up. You know, I'm going through hardships. Have we ever felt that way before? I'll tell you what, the body of Christ is feeling that way big time these days, right? Outward man just feels like it's perishing, going through trouble, getting bad news, hearing stuff, financial pressure, marital problems, all these things, right? Very similar. He says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That word renewed, it means to be restored and strengthened and refreshed. Paul is saying, though I'm going through arguably some of the worst trials a human being can face, he says, every day I'm being renewed and strengthened through fellowship with the Word and Spirit.
Amen.
I'm being strengthened and restored every day, even though my outward man is facing hardships that are even difficult to explain.
Amen.
The outward man is the flesh and the mind. It is the part that is so focused on circumstances and our own personal needs and hardships. He said the outward man perishes every day or is pressed, pressured, and distressed, but the inward man can be renewed every day. But this is not automatic. Paul is saying, I'm strengthened every day by his word through prayer, fellowship, worship. He says, my spirit knows God and it refreshes me.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. And now that brings us, very interesting enough, to verse 17. Are you still with me here today? Look at verse 17. Paul says, for our light affliction. He says, this is just light affliction, which is just for a moment. He says, and actually, this light affliction is working for me. Listen. When I'm telling you, when hardships press on, sometimes people are more likely to get into the Word, start seeking God. He said, listen, if these hardships are just pressing me into the Word, he says, it's working for me.
Yeah.
Working for me. We shouldn't need an affliction to get us into the Word. But he's saying, since I'm going through it, it's working for me. My faith is strengthening. My inner man is renewed day by day. And now this affliction, which is almost humanly ununderstandable, he says, it's a light affliction.
Yeah.
Light affliction.
Yeah.
Hold your place here. We are definitely coming right back. You want to see what Paul calls light affliction? Go to chapter 11 in the same book. Go to chapter 11 in the same book and go to verse 23. Light affliction. And I'm going to make my point here in just a minute. He's saying, my outward man is being pressed every day, but the inward man is renewed every day. And because of this, it's light affliction. And it's just for a moment. It's just temporary. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 11:23, Paul speaking. He's talking about ministers that were challenging his authority. And he says, are they ministers of Christ? He says, I speak as a fool. Don't you love how there's even sarcasm in the Bible? Paul's being sarcastic. He says, what do I know? I'm such a fool. What would I know? He says, I am more in labors more abundant. He said, I work harder than them. He says, I'm in stripes above measure. He said, I'm beaten more than them. He says, I'm in prison more frequently. He said, I'm persecuted more than them. And he says, I'm in deaths often, or pressures that feel like he could die. What are those, Paul? He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 39 times 5 is a lot of stripes. That's a lot of beating on your back. He said, 5 times they beat me and whipped me 39 times each. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned and he nearly died. He says, 3 times I suffered shipwreck. He said, I spent a night and a day, I've been in the deep. What is that? 24 hours at least, doggy paddling while the ship that he was on sank underneath him. He's saying, these people don't think I'm a minister. He's saying, look at what I've done to make sure that the gospel has gotten, look what I've gone through. Why am I sharing this with you? Because he said, this is light affliction. Light affliction. If somebody came out of the dark and whipped you 39 times today, you would not think that's light affliction. And then now imagine that happening 5 days in a row. Or if someone jumped out and beat you with a baseball bat near to death, you would not call that light affliction. Naturally minded modern day Christians would not say that. If you went through a shipwreck 3 times, goodness, Paul, maybe you should start walking. But you know, avoid the ships, you know? He's like, everywhere I go. And then he goes on to read. He's like, I was in perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of false brethren, perils of my own countrymen, beaten, assaulted. Now, this is what Paul said, but our light affliction is only for a moment. Light affliction. Let me ask you, could your spirit right now handle a beating? Right. Meaning, what would happen? I'll tell you, modern-day Christians, they can't handle the loss of a job. You know how many Christians I've seen walk away from God because they lost their job? An attack on their finances all of a sudden drove them away from the things of the Lord. Why is it that Christians today, not even bad things, you don't even have to try them with troubles, try them with a good thing. Give them more money and watch how it messes up their life. You know, give them a nice sunny summer and they'll abandon the things of God. Our light affliction. Now, go back to chapter 4 again. How in the world could Paul say this affliction is light? The answer is up there in verse 16. He said, my inward man is being renewed, restored, and strengthened every day to the point that the beatings felt light, to the point where the shipwreck felt light, to the point where all these troubles felt light. Paul is not saying go out and try to avoid troubles. He's saying go out and refresh your inward man and you will feel the troubles. Why? What's going on here? Paul is saying that your spirit and the strength of it determines the heaviness of what you face in life. Why is it that the modern church can go through a coronavirus pandemic? You know, or can go through the loss of a job and it will rock them to their core. It'll be so heavy on them. But yet these things for Paul were light. The difference was not in the severity of the trial. The difference was in the strength of the man, the inward man, the inward person. Amen. This is what has happened, why Christians today run over the smallest things. Because they're not fed. Because they're not strong in their inward man. Here are some things that I need to share with you. Your inner man is what's being tested during hardships. See, when that ship was sinking, it was testing what was in Paul. When he was going through that beating, what was on the inside of him was being tested. When he was being stoned nearly to death, what was on the inside was what being tested. Listen, you can fast forward it to modern day. The pandemic, it's just testing what is in our inward man. That financial trial is just testing what's on the inside. Those people that are assaulting or insulting or maliciously attacking you, it's just testing what's on the inside.
Very good, right.
Amen. But if you're troubled or if your inward man is weak, you're going to feel those things a whole lot less. Oh, praise the Lord. Christians are trying to do everything today, but do the one thing they need to, and that's feed their spirit. Right. Yeah, but Pastor, I do this for the Lord. 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 Do you keep your vessel full for the Lord?
That's it.
Ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. Your inner man is what carries you or lets you down.
Sure.
Paul's just saying the inner strength of the Lord just carried it. It carried these afflictions. It seemed light. Isn't this what Jesus said? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest for your souls. He said, learn of me, for I am lowly of heart, for my burden is light, my yoke is easy. Light and easy, Jesus said. But yet none of us have ever been to a cross. Paul said, this light affliction, but none of us have been in a shipwreck or been beaten like he was beaten. He said, but this is a light affliction. The difference isn't the severity of your problem. Paul isn't saying, go and make sure your troubles get removed out of your life. He's saying, feed your spirit, because your spirit is what's gonna carry those things. Let me show you this in the Word real quickly. Can you bring up Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14? Can you bring up in the Amplified? It just makes it more understandable. Proverbs 18:14, I believe, is the verse. Look at this. It says the strong spirit of a man is what sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. Does that seem to reference Paul? Sure, that would describe Paul. Notice the strength of your spirit is what gives strength to your body. Talk about health and healing. Health and healing is not a matter of the flesh. It's the matter of the spirit. It says, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? That's God's way of saying someone who's weak spiritually is unhelpable. Who can raise them up or bear them? Wow. But the strong spirit of a man, because they're spiritually strong, their body is sustained even in physical pain. Amen. Or when trouble comes, it is the strength of their spirit that is carrying them through that hardship. Are you getting something out of this? Pastor, what's this about? Because I want you to develop strength God's way. I want you to get hungry for the things of God again. I want you to get, you know, an appetite for his word. I want you to grow a desire to pray.
Yes.
Amen. This is going to be the test of our generation.
Right.
Yeah. Now go to verse 18. You're in 2 Corinthians 4:18. Now I know we were just looking at Proverbs 18, but go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me share some things, and we got to get ready to close. We're probably not going to get to all seven of the list here today. I always typically prepare more than what I'm going to share. All right. Here's how you can tell which part of you has dominance in life.
Okay.
Either the inward man is dominating or the outward man is dominating. And let me just say, percentage-wise, more times than not, the outward man is ruling a Christian. When it should not be. It should be the inward man. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen. All right? He's like, I'm not looking at the shipwrecks. I'm not looking at the beatings. I'm not looking at the scars on my back. I'm not looking at my hardships. Paul says, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are just temporary or subject to change. He says, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If I'm telling you, if your circumstances, if that's what's dominating your life, it's because your outward man is dominating you.
Right.
You know, when you are inward led, you have an eternal mindset.
That's good.
An eternal mindset. Amen. Paul said, I don't even look at the beating. I don't look at these hardships. I'm not looking at the shipwrecks. I'm not looking at the persecution. See, because with the inward man, you can look at eternal things.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. When you're fellowshipping with God, you're looking at the eternal plan, the big picture, the vision of God. Are you getting something out of this here today? Yes. A refreshed inward man has the eternal mindset that says, these things are temporary and not worthy of my worry. But the outward man will look upon temporary things and will magnify them. If you're magnifying your problems, talking about how big they are, how bad they are, how hard they are, I'm telling you, you are outward led. Ooh, boy. We love you, Pastor. We know you're helping us. All right. Now, you will feel the hardships in life depending on the strength level of your inner man. Your inner man is what is tested during these hardships. All right, now real quickly, we're going to end like this because these last few points are really simple and quick. Now, number 5, are you ready? This is something you've got to get a hold of. A strong inner man is the best defense against ignorance. I'm going to say this again. A strong inner man is the best defense from ignorance. Real quickly, you're in 2 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I got to read these verses to you, and then we're going to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Boy, it sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Praise the Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. and start with verse 9. Here's a verse or a passage of verses that so many people, they misunderstand. It says, as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Notice God has things prepared for people that love him. Does anybody love God here today? Woo, praise the Lord. So he's got things prepared for us. Now we think that those prepared things are automatic, but they're not. Okay, notice eye cannot see them, ear cannot hear them. And it's actually when it says the heart of man, the literal Greek is the mind of man. The mind of man cannot perceive these things. So you could say it this way. Flesh, your outward man cannot receive these things. Okay. Verse 10. He says, but God revealed these things to us by his Spirit. Everyone say Spirit. Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man? Meaning, what person is going to know and understand these things that God has for them except the spirit of man which is in him? Do you see that? The spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God no one knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Let me just simplify this passage for you. The Holy Ghost is searching the deep things of God to communicate them to your spirit. The Bible says that you will never know the things that God has prepared for your life until you understand them inwardly.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Inwardly. So many Christians today, they're saying, I'm looking for God to give me a sign. Give me a sign of what job to take. Give me a sign of where to invest. Give me a sign on who I should marry. Give me a sign. How many of you know God does not? It's not just he doesn't do this. It's evil to ask God for a sign. Do you know that? Jesus said, a wicked generation seeks after a sign. We are not to be led by outward signs. I'll see Christians all the time. They'll say, Pastor, I knew that I was supposed to take that job because my new boss had my same birthday. It was a sign. Goodness gracious. Pastor, we knew that that was the house we're supposed to have because I asked God to find one with my favorite color outside. I bought that car because it was my favorite color. God so told me it was a sign. No, God isn't giving you signs. You want me to prove it to you? Go to verse 14 in this same passage, 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man, the outward man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. The things that God has for your life are going to come from the Spirit. Amen. From your inward self, being led of the Holy Ghost. Are you getting a hold of this? This is why so many Christians in life, they don't know what to do. They don't know what job to take. They don't know where to go. They don't know what decisions that they have, you know, things they have to decide. And they're so ignorant because their spirit man is undeveloped. If you're not feeding in the Word, you're going to not see something that God wanted you to see. Are you getting a hold of this? All right. Number 6, I've already said this, so we'll just write it down. A strong inner man will fight against sickness in your body. Do you know that? We already looked at Proverbs 14, 18. It says that a strong spirit will sustain you in bodily sickness or pain. There you go. A strong inner man will fight against sickness in your body. All right. Oh, boy. And we'll end right here. Number 7, the Lord is looking upon the inner man. And I'll end right here, and for the sake of time, I will just give you this reference, and you can look it up. Luke chapter 11, verses 39 through 41. Luke 11, 39 through 41. Jesus was sitting with the Pharisees. How many of you remember those characters? All right, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a Pharisee. Remember, Jesus came and he sat down at dinner, at supper with the Pharisees, and the one thought in his mind is like, look at this guy. He didn't even wash his hands. Remember that? Because they had those religious ceremonies. Remember, they dressed like religious leaders. They had the fancy outfits and, you know, they carried around the scrolls and they looked on the outward thing. Remember that? And they had all these outward ceremonies, and Jesus just sat down and said, all right, let's eat. Now, kids, this does not give you an excuse not to wash your hands when your mom and dad tell you. But Jesus sat down. They did it for a religious ceremony, and Jesus said, you know, it's interesting to me that you will wash the outside of a cup, but you forget that the same guy that made the outside of the cup made the inside of the cup. He said, you should have washed the inside of the cup. And he's talking about them because he's basically saying, look at you. You look like a religious leader. Look at you. Remember, he said, you make long your phylacteries. Remember those scarves that those guys wore? He said, you make them long and apparent. You pray standing on the street corner. You act like you're some religious leader. He said, but on the inside, you're a ravening wolf. Remember when he said that? He told him another time, he said, you're just like a whitewashed tomb. You're beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, you're filled with dead man's bones. Remember that? He said, you should have cleaned not just the outside, but you should have cleaned the inside. Remember that? He said, look, you're washing your hands. You know, you're making yourself look great on the outside, but on the inside, your motives and your intentions are wrong. Folks, we amen this and we think it, but if we're not careful, modern day Christians will become just like the Pharisees. We will be upstanding Christians in the community. We'll be upstanding Christian, you know, businessmen, Christian workers, Christian teachers, Christian this, Christian that. We'll be in church. Notice you can love God and still be ignorant. Right? You can love God with all your heart and still miss the things that he prepared for you. But so many Christians today, they can be, look, I'm out upstanding in the community. I serve in this aspect, I do this and I do that. Well, guess what? The Lord doesn't care about all that as much as he cares. What are you doing at home? What are you doing with this when you're home by yourself? Some of you, I'll tell you what, you're sleeping through this. Lord, goodness, you, oh my goodness. Anyway, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Because moments like this are the moments where it's make or break. We get something now that we're going to be tested on later in our life. But if we're doing all this outward stuff, we're no different than the Pharisees. The problem with them is that at home, they had nothing to do with this. They were not, you know, making soft their heart with the word. They were not praying the prayer of consecration before God. They were not meditating in the word. They were more concerned with all their outward aspects of looking like a good Christian community member. I'm telling you, but God can only do according to the power that's working in us. He can only do that which you are developing at home in your spirit, feeding your spirit, growing spiritually, because out of it are all the issues of life. If you've got time to serve in this capacity, that capacity, this capacity, that capacity, you're doing all this stuff, but then you are not on your knees and on your face before God. If you are not fellowshipping and worshiping with him, if you are not sitting down with this word and getting an appetite for the word of God and building your spirit, man, I'm telling you, this is what a crisis is. Are you ready? A crisis is when circumstances overwhelm the knowledge of God in your spirit. When we could have grown, and Paul said, this is light affliction. Ask yourself this question. What affliction could take you out? Shipwrecks couldn't take Paul out. And I'm not talking about just dying naturally. I'm talking about, you know, what could destroy your faithfulness for God? A shipwreck. Three shipwrecks couldn't stop that man. Five separate whippings couldn't stop that man. Being three times beaten with rods could not stop that man. Thrown into prisons all the time could not stop that man. He said, this is just light affliction. But what is it in our lives that would stop us? Loss of a job, loss of a loved one, loss of a relationship, loss of money, loss of income. What is it? If those things can destroy our faithfulness, the reason is because our spirit got overwhelmed, got caught off guard by circumstances and hardships. Folks, are you getting something out of this here today? I'm telling you, folks, out of my love for you and out of my love for the Lord, I do know this. And I know it sounds dramatic. I'm certainly not trying to be. This isn't a scare tactic. Folks, I think most of you know this, that we are in the midst of some extremely biblical times on this earth. Christians are being tested like never before and will be tested greatly in the days ahead. Folks, all of it is going to depend. I mean, there are many believers that they could not handle a virus coming into the earth, and all of a sudden they forsook the things of God because they were scared of it. Folks, I'm telling you, that is small. That is so small of what we might see in our lifetime. And I'm just trying to encourage you. I want to be a good steward of the house of God, and I want you prepared. Amen. Can you say about your life right now, this is light affliction. Yeah. This is temporary. This is light affliction. This is just temporary. Yeah. If we're living anything short of that, our spirit isn't as full as it should be.
Good, Pastor.
Because if Paul's afflictions were that light for him,
that's right.
How much more should our afflictions just be light? But they will be always, the more you look at them, the heavier they will be.
True.
So we look at the things not that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Yeah. The more you look at hardships, the more you fester and think and meditate on them, the harder and the bigger they're going to become. Did you get some help here today?
Yeah.
Folks, are you going to be doers of the word?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. Lord, we see how important it is to develop the inward man. Folks, we know that the only way forward is to crucify our flesh. Lord, you have great things in store for us. And we know that the only way into them, the only way we're going to break into that next level is by getting to this. Father, I know you're looking for a church. You're looking for believers in general, not just this church, that are going to get together. And in their homes, behind closed doors where nobody sees them, they're going to invest in their spirit, man. They're going to feed on your word. The appetite for the word and spirit is going to come over them. They're going to worship you. They're going to surrender and consecrate themselves before you. They're going to rise to the challenge. They're going to rise and meet the test of this generation. They're going to shine brighter than ever before. They're going to put natural things down. They're going to pick up spiritual things. Father, we praise you today. We glorify you today. Lord, we just say, here we are. We'll do it. And Lord, we just give you the praise and all the glory. With all heads bowed, all eyes closed, before we dismiss, as I look around, we mostly have a family group here today. But just in case there's somebody that I'm missing, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Go ahead and ask yourself that question in your heart right now. Is Jesus my Lord and my Savior? Have I personally invited him into my heart? If I were to die today, would I be in heaven with the Lord, or would I be separated from him in a place called hell? If you don't know the answer to that question, I tell you, don't leave this place until you know the answer, because you can know for sure. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's just that easy. The only thing is, you need to be sincere. When you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're not looking for fire insurance. You're looking to live for him every day of your life. If that's you here today and you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need to be born again. I need to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. I want to know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not gonna bring you down front. I'm simply gonna ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. I'll just simply say, I see that hand, you can put it down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here that would say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I need my sins to be washed and forgiven. And I want to know that Jesus is my Lord. If that's you, could you just respond now, please, with an uplifted hand? Is there anybody? I don't see any hands, and that doesn't surprise me. I know just about everybody in here today. God loves you. God's got a plan for us. Father, we just praise you, and we just consecrate ourselves to your plan. Father, we just surrender ourselves. Father, our own will is crushed to do the will of God. Lord, we just bless you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet here today. Let's go ahead and just rejoice and give the Lord some praise as we dismiss. Did you get some help here today? Yes. Folks, I'm asking you, who will join us? Who will be part of this and just start seeking the Lord and just, I mean, start putting down some natural things? Picking up, I'll tell you what, I think we had three hands raised when I just said that. Glory to God. Who is going to join in and just start seeking God? Put some things aside. Fill up your vessel. Get filled with his word. Worship him. If you're baptized in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost. If you're not, stay with us. We'll teach you about that as well. Amen. Let's just rejoice and give God the praise. Father, we glorify you. Father, we're excited for the days and the weeks ahead. Father, we just say that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. Father, we know that this world needs to see the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Father, they need to see men and women of Christ with a strong spirit. And Father, we'll just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.